Hi, this is Harold Long. Welcome to the Hiltran United Weekly Message and Podcast. I'm glad you're making time for this week's teaching. I will have more to say at the end, but for now, let's dive right in.
And we're reading from the Gospel of Matthew, so would you please rise during the reading of the Gospel? Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." May God bless your hearing, understanding, and application of Scripture. This is the Word of God. Thanks be to God.
Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And when they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent around to all that region and brought to him all who were sick and implored him that they might only touch the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched it were made well.
Good morning, everyone. Previously, when we talked about water walking faith, we learned that God is waiting for us to get out of the boat. God is waiting for you to dream, to believe, to pray, and to step out in faith. Jesus says, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." We condition ourselves to fear and doubt because we prefer the comfort of our boats rather than the calling of the waves. Peter asked for a word from Jesus, and he replied, "Come." Today, we will learn the most important and critical moment in the entire water walking story. Yes, Peter initiated the encounter, but there are a lot of people who start things and never see them through. Yes, Peter gets out of the boat, but there are a lot of people who have taken risk and ended up underwater. Why is this moment key? Because there's nothing more important than a word from God. Any significant moment in our lives should be anchored in a word from God. Any important decision should be rooted in a word from God. It is a word from God that can bring peace into chaos. It is a word from God that can calm any storm. And it is a word from God that spoke the entire universe into being. There is power in the word of God. My experience, I've had a few where, and usually it may just be scripture, but when my dad was sick, I was praying, Lord, give me the gift of healing. You know, that was kind of a little, selfish, because I just wanted my dad to be healed. But it was one of the nights after coming home from visiting with him, and it was just, you know, it's always like kind of just in my head, but it was like, there's a time to live and a time to die. So we all know that that time comes for us. But it's just little things like that that I can say has happened to me. Before Peter got out of the boat, he heard Jesus say one word, come. That may sound crazy, but also walking on water is kind of crazy. There was a divine moment that took place on the Sea of Galilee that night. A supernatural God spoke a supernatural word that created a supernatural moment. We could use scripture as a guide, a basis, a framework, and as an anchor for our lives, but it's also equally important to understand that God was speaking to people throughout the Bible, and so I believe in all my heart he still speaks to us today. So the question is not whether God speaks or not. The question is, do we listen? And Deb is one of our good listeners. I praise her. One of the most important things you will ever learn in your entire life as a believer is how to hear the voice of God. We must position ourselves to hear from God. Most of the time, if we're not hearing from God, it could be because we're not allowing ourselves time to listen. We might be so busy with life that we don't give God any margin to speak to us. For others of us, we fill every gap with noise. We scroll through Facebook or Instagram with every spare moment we have. We fill every space with news and opinions, and before we know it, we've grown deaf to the sound of God, because the primary sound of our lives is from the world. The Word of God is our daily bread. It is not junk food that we binge on once a week. It needs to be the main sound, the lead singer, and the primary voice of our lives. For some of us, the first thing you need to do in your life is to plug into God and get a word from heaven for your life. So how do we know if it's from God? For some of us, God's voice may not be a loud, audible voice that splits clouds and shakes the ground. For me, it begins as a feeling or a prompting. It can come as a statement from a mentor, a friend, or even a stranger at the grocery store. God uses others to speak to us, but most importantly, the way I feel confirmation that that a word is from heaven is the most important word you'll hear today, and that word is peace. Wherever there is peace, there is God's presence. It's the peace of God that confirms his word. It's the peace of God that transcends all understanding. It's the peace of God that provides calm in the storm. It's the peace of God that brings clarity to what is cloudy. It's the peace of God that provides quiet amidst the noise. There's nothing like the peace of God. Do you have peace about that relationship? Do you have peace about that job? Do you have peace about that decision you need to make? Whatever you do today, learn to follow peace. Romans 10:17 reminds us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So before we step out in water walking faith, we need to learn to lean in, to hear his voice. Peter wasn't looking for a strategy that day. He was listening for a voice. One of the most interesting things in this entire story is the reason Jesus gives to explain why Peter began to sink. You of little faith. Really? Little faith? Out of all the things to label Peter, erratic, yes, emotional for sure, but little faith? I'm not sure I would have seen it the same way. Any of the disciples who remained in the boat could have been said to have little faith. I mean, Judas was in the boat. Surely he had little faith. Peter at least got out of the boat. Peter took a risk. Peter stepped out of his comfort zone and did something that was never done before. Is that really little faith? However, Jesus is not being harsh or dismissive. If we look closer at the context of the story, we might start to have a clearer understanding of what's really going on. Earlier in Matthew 14, there's an incredible story that takes place. Jesus is out with his disciples teaching the multitudes and healing the sick. As the day began to come to an end, Jesus decided to feed the people that were there to listen to him. Now, this was not a small snack. The Bible notes there were approximately 5,000 men there, not including women and children. The disciples gathered what food they can find, which amounts to 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. They give the food to Jesus, who gives thanks, breaks the bread, and begins to distribute it to the crowd. Miraculously, the food begins to multiply, and every person that is there is fed, with 12 baskets full of food left over. What an amazing miracle. Now, it would be fair to say that if you were there and witnessed this miracle, it would change your life forever. You could never doubt that Jesus was the Son of God. You would have such a strong confidence in Jesus' power to heal, to provide, and to save. You would surely believe that nothing was too hard for God. Well, not Peter. Within 24 hours of witnessing this life-changing miracle, Peter was sinking in the water. The disciples had witnessed this miracle firsthand. They had seen the bread multiply. Not only had they seen it, but they had also eaten it. They didn't just watch the miracle, they experienced it for themselves. Yet straight after that moment, we find them gripped with fear, lacking trust, and hiding in the boat on the same day. Here's the truth you need to catch from this story. When Jesus says, "You of little faith," he's not talking about the size of his faith. He's talking about the stamina of his faith. When you study the word little in the original Aramaic word, it really has its meaning in the idea of someone who is young and inexperienced. It's generally used for an apprentice who has not yet mastered a certain skill. Essentially, Jesus is saying to Peter that his faith is young, inexperienced, and not fully matured and developed. Jesus' response had nothing to do with little faith and everything to do with lasting faith. Matthew 17 reminds us that if we have faith the size of a mustard seed, we can move mountains. If you've ever seen the size of a mustard seed, it's very tiny, and it grows to be like 12 to 15 feet tall. So the size of faith is not what matters, but it's our stamina. It's the ability for our faith to last. It's the ability of our faith to push through. It is the ability of our faith to endure. Jesus wanted Peter to understand that if he could do a miracle for the 5,000, surely he could do a miracle for Peter. And that's what we need to understand today. If God did it for them, he can do it for you. If he provided for them, he can provide for you. Enduring faith trusts God. Enduring faith doesn't disappear when times are hard. Enduring faith doesn't dissolve when the wind and the waves come. Enduring faith keeps believing for miracles from miracle to miracle, season to season, and everything in between. And that's what water walking faith is. It's a faith that endures. Faith in between the miracles. Faith for the middle. Faith when there's no answer. Faith when there's no hope. God is looking for a faith that will last. Not a faith built on hype or built on a moment. Not a faith that is fleeting, but a faith that builds daily. A faith that has deep roots. A faith that starts small, but a faith that grows. A faith that matures, and a faith that lasts. Whatever the circumstances, we have faith. Whatever the season we are in, we have faith. Whatever the storm we're going through, we have faith. God is calling you to get out of the boat and into the water, out of the familiar and into the unknown. Do not be afraid. Today, I want to encourage you to stop looking and start listening, because where his voice is where he is, and where he is the faith to walk on water. And I'll tell you, one of the ways God speaks to me is in my devotionals. And this morning when I picked up my devotional, it was like, oh, I look grateful no matter what. As a Christian, we have the opportunity to experience deep and abiding joy. It's a blessing we receive because of our relationship with Jesus Christ, knowing that he's at work in every detail of our life. But that doesn't mean our days are problem-free. Think back to Peter as he walked on the storm-tossed Sea of Galilee. The disciples' vessel had been battered all night, leaving them exhausted and fearful. But despite all of that, Peter had the courage to call to his Lord and step out onto the turbulent waters. It was only when he took his eyes off Jesus that the disciple began to sink. But even then, the Savior refused to abandon his beloved friend. Instead, he took hold of him and brought Peter back to safety. The same is true for us whenever we are facing adversity. If we are conscious of the Lord's continuous presence with us, we can express gratitude no matter what, because God will provide a way through the challenge. My friend says, you know, if God takes you to it, he will bring you through it. So just remember, he is always with us. Let us pray. Loving God, in a noisy world, when you speak to my heart, mind, and spirit, in and through the scriptures, may I hear you over all the noise. Amen.
Hi again, this is Harold. Thanks for listening to our weekly message and podcast. I hope that we have shared something helpful to you wherever you are in your spiritual journey. Just so you know a little bit more about us, we are Hilltran United. Hilltran United is an alliance between Hillsboro United Methodist Church and Transformation United Methodist Church. We are kingdom churches and kingdom communities for people who aren't into church. We meet Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. at Hillsboro United Methodist Church and 11 a.m. at Transformation United Methodist Church. Both churches are located in the northeastern tip of the beautiful Ozark Mountains, located in Jefferson County, Missouri. We also meet during the week in smaller groups that we call life groups and home churches, and that's how we make it relational. We hear regularly from people from all over who are engaging in personal and group studies based on our teaching, and we would love to know if that is happening where you are at. If you want to connect with us, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Vimeo, and YouTube, or you can download our app from your favorite app store. Just search for the app titled Our Church by Church Dev and enter in Hilltran United, and you can access all of our available audio, video teachings, plus through the app, or our website, you can download our PowerPoint slides, bulletin, sermon notes, and discussion questions. It's all there for you. And lastly, if you want to learn more about how you can support Hillsboro United Methodist Church or Transformation United Methodist Church financially, please go to www.hilltran.org for more information and to give. We appreciate anything you can do to help. Hey, thanks for being a member of this extended church family. I'm glad we are in this together as kingdom people, commencing shoulder to shoulder to help people rediscover life and experience the kingdom of God.